All right, Jed, let me just confirm. Are you back with us?
I am. I have agreed to be recorded.
You didn't say this is Jed. You just said, I am. That's like a Picasso painting or something. I am. I be. To each of you and all of you, this is the Media Bits Power Hour, an educational opportunity for advertising, sales, and media representatives around the world. Thank you so much for joining us. Whether you're on the magazine, the newspaper, the niche, or specialty magazine publications, whether you have free CERC, control CERC, or paid CERC, you're in the right spot. We'll be talking about ads in print, by newsletter, and also in your website. Remember as well, it's not an accident that we do not have something on your screen. In all of the very best adult research related to learning, the more notes you make, the more notes you take, the more that we transfer the knowledge to you, simply the coach and coaching approach. Along the way, if you have additional questions during the course of today's teleseminar, simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll work and weave those questions in. For those of you that already sent your questions in advance, we've organized them for today's educational teleseminar, and we'll be working in and around those. With me is Jed, the founder and CEO of MediaBids. We have worked together for the last 10-plus years. You will hear from myself and from Jed during the course of today's teleseminar. Jed, how about some opening words about MediaBids, the work that you're doing, and how much the kind of results and response and the things that you do best with MediaBids?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks, Ernest, for joining us. Ernest always brings an enormous amount of knowledge to these calls, and looking forward to hearing what he has to say this in the coming hour. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. I founded MediaBids about 20 years ago, and ever since we've just been coming up with different ways to drive revenue to print publications. We do that in several different using several different methods, but the end result always is that our goal is to drive revenue to print. We're heading into the holiday season, so we're starting to add a lot of advertisers that are holiday related. So that's sort of been taking up a lot of our time lately. But you know what we do that's different than just about anyone else in the world, we think, is we track the results of tens of thousands of ads. So we're able to attract advertisers that have long ago sort of dismissed print because we're able to show them that the results that they're generating can compete with any other medium when you really break it down and look at the numbers. So if you're not using MediaBids, we'd love to have you begin to use us. There's no cost to use our service. We only make money when you make money. And if you're currently using MediaBids, thank you, and we look forward to continuing to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And for those of you that are working with MediaBids, you know the sterling reputation they have, and you know the revenue that they drive and generate. If you're not familiar with MediaBids, come into their website, speak to Jeff, learn more, or speak to Jed, and learn more from his team as well about the work that they do for and with publications and media teams like yourself. They do business the old-fashioned way, simply means when they say, here's what we're going to do and here's how we're going to work together, they simply deliver on that side of the house. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the advertising sales industry since 1986, launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and we launched Power Hour in 1995. We've now coached and guided more than 2,500 advertising sales companies and their ad sales teams in 13 time zones around the world over the last 22 years. Today, I'm actually in the Great White North in Canada. We are in Montreal working with some wonderful clients here in the marketplace this past couple of weeks. So always a delight. We also put on a signature academy every single Tuesday. It works very simple, very similar to what we're doing here. Every Monday, you get an audio message on a focused topic. Every Tuesday, you come in, just like we're doing here, into an audio conference call. Big difference. It's an open line. We field your questions by voice. We field your questions by email. And we do not finish up until we've accomplished those goals. So if you'd like to join us, simply come in to powerhour.com. You can learn more about that. So, Jed, here we are in September, sort of looking towards 2018, and our topic about budget selling season, our focus for 2018. What are we doing in September thinking about budgets and 2018? Why are we here, Jed? Why is this time of year so important?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that depending on the companies that you're targeting or you know, in your own company, I mean, this is the time of year when decisions are made for the new calendar year. You know, they're for a lot of larger companies, you know, putting a budget in place for marketing is something that you know, that they begin to do pretty early, and tend to stick with you know, for the upcoming year.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly correct. This is a time of year that companies, depending on the size of the companies, ad agencies are positively doing this time of year, large companies, and even medium companies. And we realize that those of you that ask some questions, do smaller companies do this as well? The answer is yes and no. Generally, smaller do not. They make their decisions week by week, month by month, season by season, depending on how the prior month or quarter has gone. But the reality is that they have a sense of the overall budgeting process, even as they're planning for next year, their new rollouts or new products or new services or new announcements or whatever that might be. But positively, medium, larger, and any work being done related to ad agencies is fully buttoned down and budgeted. And that's an important piece to recognize. Jed, in my corporate days, I really despised this time of year. I felt like I was selling into my current cycle. I had budget numbers, my own budget numbers make. Companies were demanding because they wanted to know about the next upcoming year. They wanted to know about increases. They wanted to know what was new, what was not. They wanted to know if they were going to continue with us, and we wanted to know as well. But then the other part is they were so busy in their budget meetings that they were buried. They were not accessible, and that was the part that was a bit baffling to me, and I didn't have the perspective that I have today. Hence the reason why we're going to be talking today about really the myths versus the realities and really what's going on in the budget season and the budget cycle. So for all of you joining us, that really is our focus, that this time of year is key, okay, as you're setting the stage between now and the end of the year and also learning what the plans are for 2018. It's also when all ads are in play. And Jed, you made reference to that. This is where you can gain biz for next year. This is where you can lose biz. So you can open up the front door, but you can be losing biz out the back door. We have to be very, very careful from that perspective. It's the time of year as well. And for most of those who have been in our academy through the summer months and throughout the course of this past year, and certainly in the last couple of weeks, we've really been focusing on sharpening everything in our media kit, Jed, everything in our presentation, because on the fly, we're giving presentations. You get those kind of spray or what we call stray calls. Hey, could you just give me a media kit? Or hey, can you just tell me what your CERC is? Or can you just, and it's because they're sitting in these meetings and they're making those budget decisions, Jed, and it sounds like they're just kind of these random calls. But the truth is they've got sort of, you know, pen in hand, so to speak, or spreadsheet up on their screen, or they're sitting in meetings trying to figure out, are they going to do more with you or less with you? And they're trying to figure out where all those numbers are. And Jed, you have some of that interaction as well on the media bid side, talking to and working with both publications and advertisers as well, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly sort of, you know, talking to advertisers about you know, how our programs fit into their budget. You know, I think that there's sort of two layers of budgeting that a lot of advertisers do. There's sort of a higher level where they're determining how much they want to spend for marketing in general, and then as we get even a little closer to the new year, you know, they begin to sort of divvy that up and decide where you know, where those dollars will actually be spent. I mean, one of the things that you know, that always surprises me is that for a lot of companies, you know, they really live and die by these numbers. You know, if they have a specific budget amount, you know, it seems like the primary job of the marketing department to make sure that they don't exceed that. it's sometimes I think at their peril, because you know there's times when they pass up things that you know are sure to make the money, but for a lot of people in the marketing department at larger companies, they're essentially accountants. The idea that they're thinking creatively and stuff, I think oftentimes isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make a point. You make a very solid point, Chad. And there's a part about getting tucked into a budget, which is a beautiful place to be. Next year, we'll talk about the other side, which is, how do you get inserted a budget if you didn't get tucked in? But we obviously prefer what? It's kind of like going to a popular restaurant. Wouldn't you like to know you had a 7:30 reservation, dinner for 8 at one of the most popular restaurants, versus showing up at 7:15 hoping that they'll put you at the bar. You know what I'm saying? So that is the piece. But we also know how to do what? Hey, I'll start at the bar, and if something opens up, let me know. All right? So let's all agree that it is preferred to have a 7:30 dinner reservation, party for 8, at the most popular restaurant that you want to be, so that you know what? You have a seat and you're ready to go. And that's what Jed is saying. And the part about our media kit, and the part about our presentation, there are 17 key areas, key components that we want to make certain that everything is dialed in. And in fact, once a month, on the second Tuesday of every month, we cover this in our Sales Academy, because it's that important. We take one aspect of the media kit and drill down on case studies, drill down on how to merchandise our rate cards, drill down on how we bundle our print and our digital side. Why? Because throughout the course of the year, we're constantly ensuring that we are best in class in our category and certainly staying current with the market. So our media kit and our sales presentation is vital. Here's another piece in terms of the focus for 2018, and that is staying current with the trends, the ever-moving trends about the power of print, the power of advertising. I've seen some wonderful research and some wonderful data just in the last couple of weeks. Staying current with what's happening on the social media side, upgrades or revisions, for example, with LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook or Google. Why is all of that relevant? Because when you sit down with an advertiser and they say, gee, we're doing it ourselves, or gee, everything's coming from social media, why do I even need your media solution? The truth is that that's not really the truth. There's all kinds of adjustments that are happening on the side of social media, making it tougher and tougher for individual advertisers or individual businesses to succeed on that side. This time of year, we also talk about our side-by-side media comparisons. Jed, you know, for the last decade plus, we've talked about this as a cornerstone to be prepared during budget season when an ad agency says, look, you got 20 minutes. Have a seat. 10 minutes I want to hear about your media solutions, and the last 10 minutes I want to hear how you compare to these two other direct competitors. Do you prepare for that meeting? What do you bring to that meeting? Are you ready for that meeting? What happens if you get a phone call? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3:20, they want you to join by conference call and join by Skype. Are you ready for that meeting talking about how you compare and contrast? These are the things that happen during the budget selling season. We also focus this time of year on our story related to our circulation or our distribution. Distribution on the free side, circulation on the paid and controlled. What is your magic? What do you bring separate and unique? What have you done this year to earn the right to be at the table for next year? What is your wow factor? What is your pop? And how does that compare? And I know, Jay, we go back and forth between, you know, I'm a little smaller than competitors, or this one is so much larger with their CERC. Listen, everyone can win if you carve out what you do best. For example, if you're in Los Angeles, are you the LA Times? No. But can you own Eagle Rock in the Pasadena area and be the best of, and everybody knows what you do? The answer is positively, absolutely yes. So be specific to exactly what it is you do and be the very best at it. Also, editorial. For those of you that have an editorial component, what are your editorial advantages? What were your weak spots this year? What are the things you're shifting and changing so that when we're in the budget selling season, you can simply do what? Compare what you're doing with your competitors. What is it that you bring special and unique? Jed, as you're listening to me talk about CERC and distribution and editorial, I know there's also this piece that you're twitching around going, Ernest, but there is a piece called, let's see, it begins with the letter R. Let's see, it begins, let's see, called results.
Yeah.
So why don't you say a few words about the importance of results, okay?
Sure. I mean, just to add to what you're saying, you know, I think you're exactly right that, you know, this is a great time of year to sort of, you know, to kind of revisit your story and revisit, you know, what you can do for an advertiser. I think that equally important is it's also a great time of year to ask your advertisers or prospective advertisers what they hope to achieve, right? What their goals are, you know, beyond just, you know, how much money do you have for me in 2018? It's, you know, what was your close rate like in 2017? You know, how many, you know, how are people responding to your ads? You know, is it mostly by foot traffic? Is it mostly by, you know, by phone or online? I mean, you know, what are the methods that you're using to attract customers? Which of those methods are working the best? And how are you really monetizing the marketing that you're doing? And I think that if you're going to get good answers from an advertiser, especially someone that you don't know well, you know, this is the time of year where you're probably more likely to get good answers than just about any other time of year, right? Because if they're going through a budgeting process on their end, you know, these are all numbers that they should have at their fingertips, right? They should know, for example, you know, we spent $50,000 online last year and we think it brought in, you know, X, we're going to move 50,000 from, you know, from online to radio because this is what happened with radio. I mean, this is the time of year where these types of numbers should be very familiar to people. And if that's the case, then you know, getting back to sort of what Ernest was sort of teed me up with here, but is response. So one of the things that we do here at MediaBids, and one of the ways that we've been able to attract a lot of advertisers who have sort of over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years gotten away from print is by showing them that the results that they're generating from print can compete with other mediums and in many cases do better than other mediums. And we do that by tracking the results that each ad generates. So we're able to say to an advertiser, you know, this ad that was in a specific publication on Tuesday generated this much response. And then it just becomes a simple math equation, right, where, you know, if an advertiser tells you that they have a 30% close rate, and by close rate I mean the number of people who call versus the number of people who buy, you know, if it's a 30% close rate, then it's just a matter of saying, okay, you know, your average sale is, you know, whatever it might be, you know, $10. You got 30 phone calls. You know, we think 9 of them turned into sales. You know, therefore, you generated $90 in revenue. Whatever the numbers might be, but you can see how it can become really a compelling argument to an advertiser as to why they should spend money with you when you're able to sort of take it deeper than just, you know, we have really good rates. Because there's no, you know, you should never underestimate the laziness of advertisers in the context of sort of tracking their own data and understanding their own numbers. You know, in most cases, they are relying entirely on, for example, you know, AdWords, or they're relying entirely on, you know, the, you know, the person in the front of the store who says, you know, I had three people come in and mention the radio ad today, right? To them, that means, wow, the radio ad's working great, right? But the truth of the matter is that, you know, oftentimes those sorts of word of mouth sort of, you know, recommendations or referrals are very untrustworthy. So until you can, you know, what you really need to do is to put your own data, right? Have your own data that you can, you know, kind of inject into their line of thinking. And, you know, we've talked before about ways to do that. There's unique 800 numbers, unique URLs. However you do it, it's a very, very compelling case when you can walk into an advertiser and say, let's talk about 2018. You're a carpet store. We did a lot of advertising for the carpet store across town. You know, he ran 14 ads and generated 325 phone calls. You know, out of those phone calls, you know, we believe that he made, 100 sales. You know, we'd love to have you in the publication. I mean, it's you know, I think that money becomes available in the budget if you can show that it's going to yield results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you are right. I mean, whether it's being on top of your cost per thousand, whether it's not being knowledgeable on what price or cost per keyword an advertiser is paying for, the conversion piece. You know, take for example, I'll often give the case study of buying an RV, right? So Jed, you know, what is the price range of an RV? A lot. How long would you take to make that decision to buy it? Probably more than a minute. How many test drives would you make? How far would you be willing to drive to sample a different kind of RV, right? And then is it new or used? And then how about the other side? How often would you come back in 1 year and buy another one, or in 3 years, or in 5 years, or in 10 years? How about your response to the ad? You know, if you saw the ad today, you would come in today. How many times would you go back to an RV dealer? You know, these are all those questions, Jed, as I'm rolling them along to you. You're going, hey, Ernest, my head is swimming. I don't know the answers. But if I were selling RV ads, I would know the answers to every one of those, correct?
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, pop, pop, pop. Ernest, let me interrupt you. I can answer every single one of those ads because I live in the RV space. The same thing goes if you sell ads to realtors or to apartment communities or communities that are 50-plus. Or to plumbers, or to chiropractors, or to attorneys, name the category. For those of you that have a broader, you sell ads for a business journal, or for a city magazine, or for a newspaper, then your challenge is different, because you go, how, Ernest and Jed, do I become an expert across 50 or 100 sectors? I do more than sell ads to RV dealers. And in that example, you have to do what? Two things. Choose the category or categories that where you get most of your revenue. You have to know those answers. We're going to talk a little bit about ad. Tom in Alabama asked about selling automotive ads. We'll talk about that particular category, okay? And then Steve in New York talked about expanding my customers, and that's a little broader piece, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. The point is, know your space. And if you're selling broader ads in and out of a newspaper or a magazine, a business journal, then in that case, you have on one side where the most revenue comes from, know those sectors, maybe there's 5, 7, or 10. And on the other side, you have the 5, 7, or 10 where you have the most potential. Maybe today one of your top 10 is automotive, but your top 10 prospects where you're not getting revenue might be chiropractors. Beautiful. Then you need to know the questions that you're listening to from Jed and myself. Wrapping up our first point, remember, too, while we're so focused on driving of revenue, let's not forget in our media world we have to do what? Close the back door. There are 19 specific steps that it takes to focus on renewals behind the scenes. Every single one of those steps matter. You've been listening to Jed and myself talk about some of those examples, but here's the most important point, and that is what you put into renewals and renewal prep is what matters most on the other side. And you've heard the examples that we're covering here. You've got to close the back door so that we don't lose those biz opportunities, okay? Now, Jed, we also said that we were going to work on some of the toughest sales objections, and we asked those who were registering to email and or put that in their form. So I want us to work through some of these. There were a lot of them. We consolidated them. And then for those of you that sent some just before our educational teleseminar directly to us. We're just going to work and weave those in, and if you have additional questions, we'd be more than happy to answer those as a follow-up. So Cheryl in Illinois asks about, what are the pros and cons of face-to-face meetings or meetings by phone? Comments or observations for Cheryl, you know, giving a presentation face-to-face versus by phone. Pros, cons, easier, harder?
I think that face-to-face is always better. But I also think that it depends a lot on the person you're dealing with. I think that there are fewer and fewer people who buy in the way that they used to, you know, a decade or two ago, where, you know, they want to get to know the salesperson and, you know, talk about the weather for a while before they make a decision. I think that if your proposal is good and you have your, you know, you have your numbers together and know something about their industry, then I think that, you know, the phone can be fine. However, I will say that it's harder to have a long conversation, sort of a searching conversation, to learn more about that person's business over the phone than it is in person.
Yep. And Jed, I have been around long enough to remember the days, the little shopper called the Thrifty Nickel in California. And the little shopper would come out every Thursday. And every single Tuesday, the sales reps would come out, and it was cash in hand. Great. Any ad changes? Great. I'll pick up your ad changes. Great. I need to check for the Thursday run. Literally, cash and carry. And it was very interesting because it was the relationships were very personalized. And I remember, right after that came the advent of the first fax machines, and I remember how innovative, the Auto Trader was, that imagine in Los Angeles you could actually fax your ad back. You didn't have to see your sales rep. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, in that little metamorphosis, it went from everything was done face-to-face to, you know, all of a sudden you could fax your approvals back and forth. And I just say those words because, Cheryl, our comment to you, tomato, tomato. We have those of our clients who do everything entirely by phone, and it works fine. We have those that do everything face-to-face, and obviously the blend in between. Okay, the key point is that your preparation, your presentation, your media kit has to be spot on. But to Jed's point, when you are working by phone, you need to cut to the chase. You need to organize your presentation, something as simple as page numbers. Is everybody on page 5? Is everybody on page 6? Great. And page 6, you see that at the top? You have to be able to reference those things and really succinctly address the points. And then at the end of every page, you have to pause and say, so Mary, does that make sense? So Tina, any additional questions? You have to pause because you don't get visual clues. You need verbal clues. Those little questions at the end of each page confirms either they're on track, they get it, or stop. No, hang on. There are objections that need to be fielded here. Let's continue. Gary in Ohio. Excellent question, by the way, Cheryl. Gary in Ohio asks about classified ads and sort of the state of where they are, Jed, and then also about the status of a digital paper. Is that a must? Comments on the classifieds in print versus web, obviously, in that option, and then also a comment about the status of digital paper magazines.
I'm a huge believer in print classified ads. I mean, we generate, you know, so on any given day, you know, we might generate about 10,000 phone calls across all the ads we have running for all of our advertisers. About 30% of those calls are coming from classified ads, and I believe. And this is really tough to sort of prove with data, but I believe that that very often different people read classifieds than read display ads. So what I think is common to have happen is if you have a display ad running in the paper, and if you have a classified ad running in the, you know, in the same paper, those two ads are going to generate calls or responses from different people. I mean, I've often suggested to publications, since classifieds are so small and they really do generate results, that that as a, you know, if you're looking for some way to, you know, something to give an advertiser, you know, and I know this is opening up a can of worms because Ernest is opposed to this, but if you're looking to sweeten the pot a little bit, you know, whether it be, you know, on an ad price or whatever it might be, the request is, you know, classifieds are a great, I think, a very inexpensive way for publications to give advertisers a lot more exposure to a much different audience within their same pages. So I'm a big believer in classifieds. I think that people still use them, and I think they're great. As far as the digital versions of publications, you know, we do a lot of digital advertising as well. We're sort of consistently unimpressed with the results that's generated. However, that does not mean that you should not continue to try because it's, you know, because clearly there's a growing number of people who consume news, you know, online, and, you know, no secret there. But, you know, I personally, and some of this, you know, is from our own experiences here, we always get better results. By results, I mean more response from consumers. We always get better results from ads that are pushed to people as opposed to ads that people have to come and see. So, for example, e-newsletters work better than, you know, than a website. We've had very little success with sort of the flip book idea of publications, you know, and it was, flipbooks were, I think, really popular a few years ago. They've never seemed to work very well with results. And they work much, they're much less effective, at least from what we've seen, than sort of the e-newsletter approach, where an ad on an e-newsletter where someone has actually signed up for and says, you know, yes, I want to receive the, you know, the events of the weekend or whatever it might be, those tend to work really well, relatively speaking. Still worse than print, but better than websites.
Okay, and so, Gary, back to your question on classified ads, as you're listening to Jed, hope that's helpful. I also do like the classified version. I like it from the side that sometimes you start with a small classified ad, you build a relationship, and advertisers grow. We have wonderful case studies and examples that we like to see tucked into media kits related to that. So I like it, and it can be a very nice tool to bring along readers. And apart, Jed, mirroring what you said about the digital paper, here's just and I like when you said, look, the results are not nearly as strong as print, but, you know, keep trying. You're an interesting piece. I was having dinner with some friends in their mid-50s, and they begin to tell me the story of an app called Texture. And I'm like, oh, really, Texture? What is that? They said, oh, my gosh, let me show you. They bring in the app, and they go, look at all the magazines I have in my fingertips. Look how easy it is to be able to work to the magazines. And I said, hang on. I said, there are a couple things that I really like with a magazine. Number one, how do I know if I've read it or not? Maybe there's, you know, two back issues. Oh, but the other part is I'm vicious, like the dog year, you know, where I left off. Maybe I left off on page 102, but I won't remember that a week from now. No problem, Ernest. Here's where you bookmark. And so I found myself very engaged. And it wasn't a 20-something Jed that was telling me this. It was a 50-something, a husband and wife team. They were telling me how much they enjoyed it. So I just thought that was an interesting piece, and it made me lean back saying, you know, that, you know, if the world of print continues to be available, I still love that. I love my Wired magazine. I love my ski magazines. And I call that dessert reading. But if the time came, it wasn't, would I be satisfied with the digital experience? So, Gary, thank you for your question on that. Max,
one thing to really quickly add to that. I'm not necessarily saying that people don't read things online, because I think they do. And so I think so an app like Texture, that, you know, I completely agree. It's it's a great alternative to the print version. I think what I'm saying more though is people respond to ads differently. So the ads that appear in these online things, I'm not saying that they're not necessarily getting read. I'm just saying that people aren't responding to them in the same way. It tends to be, you know, ads that appear in, you know, online very often, people will click on them or look at them, but they're not making a considered decision to respond to that ad in whatever, you know, whatever form is appropriate. So I think, you know, that's just something to keep in mind, is that that you may find that your advertisers are not getting the kind of results from online ads that they would hope for, or that you would hope for, but that doesn't necessarily mean people aren't seeing it.
I'm with you on that, and that's something that for all of us in the media and advertising sales space is that we're going to do continue to watch the number of times people are coming into our digital publication, watch to see the number of pages, watch to see the number amount of time that they're engaging, watch to see what they're clicking on. I mean, there's a lot of statistical data that is valuable, and for each of you within your own particular slice, take for example, Jed, where Power Hour is based and my team is based in Park City, Utah. Population 6,000. I've been there 20 years. I've read every single page of every single newspaper. It comes out on Wednesday and Sunday. Why? Because I care about the community, and I like to turn the pages and see the little pictures of all the kiddos. But guess what? When I travel and move around, as I am today and for the last couple of weeks in Montreal, I go right back over to the digital side and become very consumed, and it's very important that I stay in touch with what's happening in my local community. So that's a classic example of the way that I take in the media. And then you might say, but Ernest, what happens when you come back? You're going to have several newspapers waiting for us. Stay tuned. I'll be reading those cover to cover still. So the advertisers are going to get what? A delayed response from an ad they might have run early in September. I might respond the first week of October, but the ad result is still there. Very interesting piece. So, Gary in Ohio, hope that is helpful. Max in Pennsylvania asked about strategic alliances and give examples. We're going to be talking about that in just a little bit. Steve in New York asked about expanding your client base. And I just want to say, Steve, to you, big believer in knowing exactly who the universe is of those who are your A list, your B list, and your C list, meaning large, medium, and smallest advertisers. Big believer in having a sales database and CRM to keep track of those. Big believer in the use of an e-newsletter to be able to stay in touch with advertisers and non-advertisers. So thank you for sharing that. Molly in Virginia asked some questions about dropped advertisers. Molly, in the world of ad sales, I must tell you that when you earlier heard us talking about the 19 steps to successfully renew your ads on that side, having dropped advertisers is the opposite. That is really tough. You don't want lots and lots of former advertisers because you have to work two and three times harder to bring them back. Oh, I'm not coming back because you don't have the editorial. I'm not coming back. I didn't get the results. I'm not coming back. I don't like your circulation. I didn't like your creative. But, you know, you have all these voices of the reason I'm not coming back. Sometimes they'll say, I'm not coming back because I wasn't happy with your ad. Then you pause and say, well, hang on. You weren't even advertising with us. Oh, my goodness, I confused you. You know, so, Jed, I know we've heard all of those pieces. The most important part, Molly, is work three times harder to get those advertisers and keep them. It builds longevity. It builds awareness in the marketplace. On our Academy, Jed, on this past Tuesday, I told the story to our Academy members about the buying of a billiard table. I always wanted one. I had one as a kid. And State Street Billiards ran ads in the Park City Park Record for more than a decade. Always there, always consistent, and it worked on me, and I bought a table. And by the way, when I bought a table, I didn't even consider that there was anybody else. I didn't price shop it. I knew exactly where I was going. I believed in them. I knew they were consistently visible and believed they had a wonderful business and went out and made a purchase and never looked back. I tell that story because for the last 10 years of the last 20, I've not again seen an ad. And what does that tell me? Huh, maybe they went out of business. Maybe they're no longer there.
maybe I should go by to see if they are in existence. They're down in Salt Lake. Gee, maybe if I were buying a billiard table today, I would do what? Price shopping. Gee, I wonder even if they were the best price or the best value. Maybe they didn't even have the best reputation since I don't see their ad for the last 10 years. Think about the psychology of me as a consumer describing what happens with that advertiser. Share that story with your advertisers and prospective advertisers and your own stories related to that. That's mine, Jed. When I look at State Street Billiards, they were it for a decade. Then they disappeared for a decade. And here I am today asking myself, legitimately today, I don't even know if the lights are still on. So Molly and Drop Dad's an important piece. Jed, let's shift gears. The third piece we promised to talk about as we're thinking about the upcoming budget season is we really wanted to talk about playing big. We want to talk about strategic alliances. We want to talk about digital partnerships. And for all of you to consider this point, it's really the math of 1 + 1 = 5, okay? And that's really what we believe is possible as you go into 2018. And it expands 5X and 10X your opportunities and the possibilities. Jed, even in the smallest example, in the mid-'80s, I had my own publications. We partnered with the ski resorts. Why? Because the ski resorts wanted print visibility and they wanted people to come ski. And they had a partnership with KKDJ, one of the top FM stations, and they wanted to be able to say, pick up Ernest publication so you can see our ski coupon. So they wanted to use their radio to bring it back to me. In exchange, I wanted ski tickets that I could gift and give to advertisers, and I wanted radio time, a beautiful three-way triangle. The radio station, what did they want? They wanted print visibility so that they could have what it would be considered a print billboard, and that helped them with their readership. And here is this wonderful three-way triangle that we worked for years and years and years, what went on to become today Smart Match Alliances. And Jed, you know that I authored that book, but that principle never has wavered in 30 years related to that. Another quick example. In my San Diego days, my Southern California days, we had our apartment magazines. They were free. They were in all the grocery stores and convenience stores. But we knew that the ships came in with the Navy men, generally 2,000 to 3,000 at a time. We wanted to get our publications out there, and we knew the Chamber of Commerce was sending information. What did we offer to do? Pay the cost to ship those chamber pieces with our magazine in them to the ships, to the men, before they ever got to shore. What did we hear from advertisers? We're getting calls from the guys out in the water, and they're renting apartments sight unseen. An amazing story. By the way, no competitor was tucked in there with the Chamber of Commerce. Years and years went by before our competitors ever realized what we did behind the scenes by that simple act. So, Jed, those are the kinds of alliances, right? They give us a competitive advantage. And when we talk to those of you in the media space, you are highly allianceable. You have a beautiful audience. You have a compelling message. You've got distribution and circulation. You've got the right kinds of readers. So you have to really realize that you bring a value to that, okay? There's another piece related to alliances, and that is to partner with the very similar vendors and suppliers at the table. Here's a case in point. Back in, again, those San Diego days, Jed, we were selling ads to the apartment communities, but there were companies that were selling carpet, and they were selling paint, and they were selling landscaping, and they were selling roofing. Guess what we learned from those vendors? They knew a lot about the same clients as ours. We had a lead-sharing relationship with them, a lead-sharing alliance that we'd sit at the table once a month, have a breakfast or have a beer at the end of the day and talk about the marketplace, exchange leads, open up introductions. Imagine for just a moment that the equivalent of a Smart Match Alliance is like adding people to your sales team, but they're not on your payroll. Imagine an endless stream of leads and insight in the market that your competitors do not have. That's what we mean when we talk about strategic alliances. You can do it one-to-one. You can have a relationship just with the painter or just the roofing company or just the landscape, or you can put them all at the table and be able to brainstorm ideas. Jed, does that make sense as I'm kind of walking through the power of alliances and what that means to our ad sales success?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, you know, it's so it's so your examples are incredibly clever compared to mine. Mine are, you know, when I used to publish a small chain of weekly newspapers, and you know, the best that I could come up with was I made deals with all the pizza delivery guys to include a copy of the paper with home delivery in exchange for a small ad. So that was my alliance. But but you know, so I think anything you can do along those lines just is a huge win.
Mm-hmm. And that really is the spirit of it. Look, we coached our clients, for example. Where associations, professional associations, have reached out to our clients and said, hey, look, we know you're in the ad sales biz. You want to sell some ads in our directory? To which we said, we would love that. Can we have the exclusive? To which they said, of course. And in some cases, they said, but we also would like a revenue share. Look, you're going to use our good name. You're going to go out to our association members. Hey, you're going to wrap it on our flag. Well, hey, will you do a revenue share? Sure. What would you like that to be? 70-30, 60-40? Sometimes 50-50, but you find a way in that middle ground. But in exchange, our clients have said, yes, we'll do that revenue share. We want exclusivity to sell those ads. Great, we've got agreement. And also, by the way, we'd like exclusivity at the show. We'd not like to have any other media vendors there. Can we also get that agreement? And you pause and go, and the association agreed to that? Yes, they did. In reverse, for those of you who have ever been frosted by the fact that you couldn't attend a association event or a large consumer show or whatever the event or trade show might be, or convention or whatever that, you know, you've seen, that is in part because others did this in front of you or around you and removed you, okay? So we do not like our clients to be frosted. It's sort of a tennis term. We would rather be serving the ball than returning. It's a baseball term. We'd rather be pitching than catching. Okay? So think about it from that perspective. But other examples. We have clients, for example, that drive lots and lots of advertising, both digital and print, for realtors in the real estate space. Well, what do we know, Jed, in the first year of when a person buys a new home? Holy smokes, what do they need? New appliances, new carpet, new furniture, new wallpaper, new, and look at the money. 20, 30, 40, 50,000 or more on average is spent in the first year. Now, once you get past the first year, for the most part, everything's been done. So what have we had clients do? We've partnered with home improvement websites. We've partnered with carpet companies so that we can benefit. They can provide us advertising for our ads for realtors on the buy-sell side. In exchange, they get visibility. Why? Because those buying and or selling homes are in need of carpet and flooring and cabinet and patio furniture and landscaping and all those other things. There's wonderful symbiotic relationships. We partner with those in ways that make sense. Automotive, our clients who work in the automotive space, we will partner with those who do aftermarket products. A fabulous story. Quick example on that. Moons ago, we had a client in Northern California, Jed. They did all the beautiful hot rod stuff, the Chevelles and the Fords and just the incredible muscle cars. And then they partnered with, for example, Ford Automotive that sold the engines, the big V8 engines. And then they had all kinds of drawings, and they attended shows, and they had all these wonderful exclusive relationships because of that. So automotive magazines and automotive selling partnered with the aftermarket relationships, manufacturers is wonderful. For example, most recently we have a client in the snowmobile space that partners with the manufacturers of snowmobiles, and they help them with the building of their list and the list development. So on one side, we're selling ads to those who are selling snowmobiles. And on the other side, we're working with the manufacturers that are feeding us the information with those who are building those machines. So Jed, some very innovative ideas, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, we're currently doing something. We were approached by the Associated Press a few months ago, and so what we're doing is we're publications are receiving AP content, for publications that don't want to pay for that AP content, instead they're providing media bids with ad space, which we then monetize on behalf of the Associated Press. So for us, it's great because it gives us access to a lot of inventory that we wouldn't have otherwise had, a lot of ad space we wouldn't have otherwise had to sell. And for the Associated Press, it works out well because they're able to build their membership and the publications get the AP content that they want as well. So it's a similar example, but it's my chance to throw it into the teleseminar.
No. That is the kind of piece, right? We have other clients that have publications, websites, print magazines that work on the golf side, and they partner with those golf country clubs that exchange their membership lists in exchange for ads. So I could go on and on and on with the examples. The part here about playing big, about smart marketing and branding, digital partnerships, strategic alliances, this is the stuff of 1 + 1 = 5. And you go, well, do you just do one of these or do you do two of them? No, you don't understand. You do all 12 of them. You do 22 of them. In other words, you can have a lot of alliance relationships where you've got a lot of hooks in the water, where you've got a lot moving around, and we believe that this is an extraordinary opportunity, plus when you're sitting down with ad agencies, plus when you're sitting down with advertisers, plus when you're sitting down with key decision makers, and you start to walk through the things you do above and beyond. Holy smokes, you had a competitor that came in to give their 1 o'clock presentation. I was sort of, yes, you know, this is what we do and this is how we do it. And then you had your next competitor come in at 2 and they put the ad buyers asleep. And you walk in at 3 and you start firing your cannons based on this conversation. It's an extraordinary place to be. It creates successful ad campaigns. It creates long-term advertising. It creates larger ad buys. It creates better renewals. It creates excitement with your sales team, which means you have more tenure with your sales team, because why? They're earning more commissions. They're having more fun. It goes on and on and on every step of the way. So it's important to recognize that from a leadership perspective, you're putting strategic alliances in place and digital partnerships in place. Gives you not only a competitive edge, but there are lots of fun, and it lets you run right over competitors. And in many cases, competitors won't realize for months or even years what you've done. That little play that we did with the Navy ships coming in, Jetta, in San Diego, partnering with the Chamber of Commerce, paying to ship out their packet plus our magazine in there, was masterful. That went on for years and years. And one day, one of their sales reps stumbled into the chamber by accident, saw one of the packets on the table and said, wow, that's interesting. How do we get added in there? To which they said, well, gee, you're not included. So I can tell you, there's been many a funny story on that side as well. But for those of you that have been frosted and you wonder why your publication wasn't in that chamber, right, or why you weren't getting the leads from the snowmobile manufacturers, or why the golf courses wouldn't help you with membership information, it's because your competitors got there first. And we cannot stress that enough. Everything we do in our Power Hour Work, Jed, everything we do on our Tuesday Academy is about one thing: close 100% of the opportunities that come over the bow. Not 50%, not 30, not 1 of 4. We're there to close every single selling and sales opportunity. There's only one chance to make a first impression, and that's also, Jed, while we only work with one media group in a category or by geography for exactly the same reason, because we passionately believe that we could never work with two magazines in the golf space, both sitting in Calgary, competing against each other, right, and offering them the same strategy. It just doesn't work. We truly believe there's an exclusivity to what we're talking about, and there's only so many sterling and prime opportunities. When I told you the story about us partnering with the ski resort and the KKG DJ, the top radio station, well, there was only one top FM station in those days. And guess what? There was only one ski resort. We linked it all up in a three-way beautiful relationship, and our competitors could only stare in awe or in discouragement because it was too late for them to go do the same. Okay?
Right.
All right. We've covered a lot of ground. Jed, our conversation today about prep for the 2018 budget selling season
everything we've tied in here, everything we've shared with those of you who are here live with us and those of you who will listen to this template seminar afterward, be prepared for the new selling season. Put everything in place that you need to win. Listen to today's audio teleseminar. Go back and listen to last month's. Go back and listen to the prior month's more. We've done 10 years of audio teleseminars just like this. They're there for you. We will help you win every step of the way. Come into MediaBids. You're working with them already? Beautiful. You know what they do. If you don't, positively, absolutely work with them. Learn what they do and engage. And for our Power Hour site, very simply, come into powerhour.com. 22 years that we've been working with media groups. We're always here to help you. Jed, how about some closing words before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, I just, you know, thank you very much, Ernest, and thanks to all the people who joined us today and provided the great questions. You know, I think that you know, think about the next few months as a great opportunity, because you know, if you know, even if it's only adding a few new advertisers, you know, that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten. I think that this is the time of year to, you know, to change your strategy a little bit and you know, hopefully generate some new revenue.
You better believe it. Thank you to all of you. Thank you so much for being with us here today. And Jed, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks very much, Ernest. Thanks, everyone. Bye.